Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
From the WEEI studios, 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station. Draft coverage on WEEI is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the home heating oil delivery and HVAC pros at McFarlandEnergy.com, by Chock Full of Nuts Coffee, and by McCormick Grill Made Seasoning.
To the podium, for the commissioner, with the pick, Roger Goodell. Please talk.
With the third pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Drake May.
Let's go!
North Carolina.
Got him.
Got a quarterback, baby.
There we go. Drake May.
Screw your
that's
roster
that's not ready for a rookie quarterback.
Pretty good.
Oh, I don't care.
You. Thank you, God.
After all that, after 3 months of breaking down what was going to happen, they did what I think most people wanted and kind of how we thought the draft was going to go. One, two, three.
So the Boston Celtics are perennial contenders because they took Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in the third overall pick.
Both number threes.
The New England Patriots will return to glory because they just took Drake May with the third overall pick.
I love it.
You know what, Scheib? I'm with you. I also love it. I agree with Andy Hart.
Ironclad analysis there.
I thought that was nice and creative.
Okay.
What?
God, Arcan's such a
Jason
hater.
Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were the third overall pick, so Drake May is the third overall pick.
Arcan's so negative.
I mean, Arcan, if they spend,
I can't make fun of that, I'm sorry.
No, you can. But I'm just telling you, I've felt this way for a long time. If they even treated free agency halfway realistically and spent some money and brought in some talent and took a receiver at 34, I'd be beating the drum saying they could be a 9 or 10 win team right now. So they don't have anything around them. They skipped and punted on free agency. But, like, if Drake May hits, they're going to be a championship contender. Yes.
One thing Andy Hart said that I did agree with.
Please talk.
Was when he said, you know, screw this offense that has nothing around him and is not ready for him. I don't care about that. I don't agree with the I don't care part, but I do agree that the offense sucks and there's nothing there for him and that it's going to be a very difficult time for
Drake. You should also agree. Maybe the pick won't hit, but if it hits, they're going to be a championship contender. Do you disagree with that?
If the pick hits and what? He's the next Patrick Mahomes? Like, what does that mean by hit? If he has as good a rookie year as who?
I'm not even talking about this year they're a championship contender. I'm saying, like, during his tenure in New England, they'll be competing for Super Bowls if he's Burrow, Allen, Mahomes. Mm-hmm. I mean, forget Mahomes. But if he's like that level of young quarterback, yes.
What about the other name that everyone's comparing him to?
Herbert?
Yeah.
They've been to the playoffs.
I know, but you're talking about championship
for, Super
contender.
Bowl.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine. But like Arcan,
I think that's the example that people.
If he's as good as the best quarterbacks in the league, Jones, yes, then they'll be competing for Super Bowls.
Well,
I just don't think he will be. So.
Okay, well, if they hit on the pick, he's going to be one of the better quarterbacks in the league, I'd imagine. So like,
well, Justin Herbert's one of the better quarterbacks in the league too, and they're not competing for Super Bowls, so it takes more than that.
Okay,
thank you, Arcan. I serve that up. For
I mean,
you.
Yes. I guess he's also been compared to Carson Wentz. You know, that team was a Super Bowl contender while he was there.
How about Carson Palmer?
They didn't win until Foles took over.
No, that's true. But like, Hurts has been to a Super Bowl. Like, I don't know, most of those quarterbacks. So maybe not Herbert. Maybe not Hebert. Every single one. But most of these quarterbacks have been there. So if they hit on the pick, I don't think it's crazy to say they're a championship contender. Tatum hasn't won anything, FYI. And so, could you be in the mix and be a contender? Yeah. I don't think that's a crazy take at all.
I love it.
Go ahead and knock it if you want. You don't like Drake May, but if it hits, they're going to be competing for Super Bowls.
Sure. I mean, then the Bears are going to be competing for Super Bowls, and the Washington Commanders and all the teams here, if all the quarterbacks hit. And if they all hit, then fine. If it's the Elway draft, then fine. I mean, yeah, sure. I don't think that that's really worth arguing. If these guys are going to project out to be the best quarterbacks in the league, then yes, of course, they're going to be competing for Super Bowls. But I'm saying, what if they fall somewhere short of that?
Well, that's when
they're
not
on a team.
That's hitting.
Okay, that's hitting. Fine. It's not often that that happens. There's only like three or four of those guys in the league right now, and five or six quarterbacks get drafted in the first round most years.
Wait, so there's only three or four quarterbacks who hit?
Well, yeah.
I know what he's saying.
Consistently.
Like super high-end quarterbacks.
Super high-end like that. Yeah. Okay. So I guess the point is, if he's something below that, the top tier, the top three QBs in the league, if he's something below that, this team can't support him. That's my point.
Yeah,
and I think it's more likely that he's something below that.
Not right now. But, like, you know, Stroud hasn't competed for a championship yet, though he's won a playoff game. Lamar Jackson, I guess, hasn't really competed for a Super Bowl, although they've been a contender, I would say. Herbert hasn't yet. Who was the other one? Jordan Love got 1 year as a starter, but, like, I wouldn't rule out any of those guys are going to compete for Super Bowls.
Hasn't been to a Super Bowl. I mean, you know, but yeah.
No, but they've been a contender. You know, Herbert has made the playoffs once. If you want to say Herbert hasn't, fine. But, like, I don't rule out any of those guys being that. And I think he can be on that. If the pick hits, he's going to be on that list with those quarterbacks.
May's also going to have to beat all those guys to get there, too. That's the other thing about it. I mean, even if May's good right away, he's going to have to beat Mahomes. He's going to have to beat Joe Burrow.
He said Tatum and Brown. Those guys haven't won anything. Those guys haven't won anything either.
Agreed.
So, I don't know. I don't think it's that crazy. If you don't like it, that's fine. You can disagree with it. But I personally don't think that's a crazy take.
I have never heard you two so worked up over Andy Hart.
Well, I agreed with him. Arcan's the one who's all fired up. I wasn't all that worked up. I'm worked up about Arcan's response.
They had a great reaction.
I just think those guys were swimming in endorphins after that pick got made. Well, I mean, it was party central.
The odd thing is, I don't think Keith even really likes Drake May.
Well, they were all screaming, "Let's go!" As soon as
he got swept up in the emotion.
I think he was just I think he was just excited. Roger Goodell actually spoke, and
this might knock your socks off.
Let me hear a little bit more, Bill. You want your socks knocked off.
That was going to be a three-way belly bump in here.
Let me hear a little bit more Bill Belichick. This is what he initially said. I tweeted this out in real time because I did flip into McAfee, which is I couldn't stick with it. Bill being reduced to sitting next to a Mel Kiper Jr. impersonator on the internet is kind of sad. I now get what Arcan was saying off the top, and I actually agree with
him. He stuck with the bit, though. He referred to him as Mel, who's
Bill,
this jackass.
Bill called him Mel multiple times. But this is Bill's immediate...
Only works if you call him Mel, Bill, all right? You got to play along, okay?
It's like, it's Mel Kiper.
Hell yeah.
A Mel Kiper impersonator, Boston Connor, who is like, you know, just a Bill Belichick fanboy. Darius Butler, a whiff of a draft pick from Bill Belichick. I got tweets about this all night. Oh, you had an eight, your career in the NFL. Yeah, he started 8 games for the Patriots, was gone after 2 years. That's a hit. That's a good Bill draft pick, you dummies. And A.J. Hawk, who I heard speak for the first time, to steal Arcan's joke.
It's always jarring.
Night. Yes. And so here's his immediate reaction to the Drake May selection.
How are you feeling right now watching that happen with the team that obviously you are so synonymous with? And what do you think about the player that they took in this new era?
Well, I think that's certainly a top need for him. It's quarterback, tackle, and wide receiver. And so, you know, this is one of the top needs. You know, Drake compares himself a lot to Josh Allen. He has been doing that for quite a while. We'll see about that. I think there are some similarities in terms of, you know, size and athleticism. Josh Allen's a pretty special player now, so.
Oh, he is. Now,
I think he sucks. But
now he's a special player. I think now is the key word for Bill.
That was doing a lot of heavy lifting in
now,
that sentence, a lot of work.
Now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Because, Bill, you, last I knew, hated Josh Allen and thought he stunk. And so this is, I put no stock in Bill's analysis. It's entertaining. I like hearing him rip the Patriots pick. It's very predictable. But I put no stock in it.
See, okay.
Bill, A, doesn't like quarterbacks, and B, is completely biased against the crafts right now.
This is actually, I thought that Bill was a lot better on that broadcast than he was the week before, where he was sitting in a beautiful living room somewhere and it was boring when he was on McAfee last Thursday.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I just don't know if I agree, but keep going.
Okay, so this was very predictable to me. Like, when he was breaking down the throws and everything from Drake May on the little telestrator, the Belestrator type situation, I thought he was great. Like, I thought that was...
Oh, see, I thought that's when he seemed most uncomfortable,
kind of
oddly enough.
I mean, when he's like, Foxy, run it back. I'm like, okay, I get it. We're trying to be casual. We're trying to have fun, but it feels a little forced. But I thought that was really insightful. Like, I love that kind of side of it. And you can say that you feel like he was being too hard on him or something. This other side is where I don't know. That feels like more performative to me. And I understand we all do that. That's part of being in media. It's just, it's such a contrast to who Bill, I think Bill is more the guy on the telestrator who's going like, this is a pretty good throw. And what you got to do here is he's bailing out of the pocket too early.
Yeah.
And, you know, like so, that is more what I want from him, to be honest.
Let me hear a little bit more of Bill. This is, I think, his reaction to May 2. Maybe Bill cut 3 overall. Can I hear this?
This is a kid that can make all the throws. He just needs to be more consistent.
That's an insult. That's an insult. As Andrew Callahan has written about in the past with the Boston Herald, that's actually an insult.
Yeah. I don't know if it's always an insult.
Well, let's keep hearing it. But
Zach Wilson, that's what he said.
He said it about a lot of quarterbacks.
Okay. Well, listen to what else he says about this one.
This is a
think
kid
he likes
that can
him.
Make all the throws. He just needs to be more consistent. Here's another one where he's, you know, should just stay in the pocket. He doesn't have any pressure. Just stay in a pocket and, you know, take his reads. And scrambles out early. Then he throws the ball late and it almost gets it picked off. So transitioning from a college quarterback to a pro quarterback here is, you know, he just needs some time and experience. Here's a late throw over here. Wiggins picks it off.
That's going to happen. That's going to happen.
Route was supposed to come back to the quarterback, I heard.
Pretty good.
You know, again, kind of open receivers down here. We got to hit them. And again, kind of, I'd say too quick to scramble and get out of the pocket. Of all the quarterbacks, he was the lowest rated in the pocket thrower.
Oh.
But you can see right here, he can definitely do it. That's a good throw against cover two on that corner route behind the corner. So,
freak athlete.
So if you're watching on twitch.tv, I'm finger wagging that comment from Bill because I don't think that's right. And I'm wondering what metrics he's using because I thought Pro Football Focus and some of those advanced metrics were actually very favorable to Drake May in the pocket and throws over the middle of the field. I don't know what number he's citing. I'm not sure is that Bill's own metrics? Is he incorrect? Am I incorrect? Is Pro Football Focus way off the mark? Does he not care about their numbers? I'm curious what that metric means, that he's the lowest rated in the pocket. Where'd he get that number?
I can effort to double check it. I don't have it right in front of me.
Yeah, but do you think that's Bill's own number?
I don't know.
I wonder where Bill got that.
I mean, he did have a giant board behind him with all the quarterbacks and all the ratings and all that other stuff. I mean, I'd imagine that's probably part of what went into that. I didn't watch the entire breakdown of everything on that board. But I mean,
you know what? Other than that, like, I don't think I didn't have an issue with anything that he said. This kid's a project. Like, yeah, so you're going to go through the film and say, okay, he's doing this wrong. He's doing that wrong. He's going to be somebody that you have to develop.
Okay, but why is he a project compared to other rookie QBs? I would just say, if you want to say all rookie QBs are some sort of project, well, then fine. But why is he, like, that much more of a project than any of the other quarterbacks in the class?
Because I don't believe that. What I'm talking about is you can look at certain things like, you know this, a college quarterback's film can look fantastic, and you can know that it's not going to translate to the next level. Like, you can see that what looks so flawless or polished or whatever are wide open windows, are throws that are, it's basically just a rainbow. Like, you can see all this and go, okay, like, that's not going to translate to the next level because it's not going to be there.
I feel a lot better about him translating than McCarthy, and Bill loves McCarthy, which we'll play for you coming up.
Well, that's a whole different thing. That is way more like Mac Jones, where it's like, yeah, it's so much around him. And by the way, if you go back through McCarthy's history, it's very Mac Jonesian, where it's like going back to Pop Warner, he's had an all-star cast around him.
I will say, I did laugh at that Boston Connor comment there, where he's like, I was supposed to come back to the receiver. Yeah. But like, this is now what Bill is reduced to. Mel Kiper Jr. impersonators, Boston Connor fanboying out, and everything else. And I'm being told I don't understand the humor. Fair point. This is my guy, H-Horn. 316 in the Twitch chat.
Rat was supposed to come back to the quarterback, I heard.
Not really surprising. Mr. Schedules his sex with his wife. That's my sex. Doesn't get the humor of McAfee, which I sometimes it does go over my head. I got to be honest. Regardless, even if you find that show hysterical, I think if I told you a year ago that Bill Belichick would be out of the NFL and sitting next to some Mel Kiper Jr. impersonator.
It's a no chance.
I think we would all agree that's a little beneath Bill Belichick on the internet.
After every team passed on hiring him as a head coach, he's now doing this with Pat Matt. I mean, come on. people would have laughed in our faces.
Thank you. If I told you at this time last year, leading into last year's draft, in a year's time, Bill will be sitting on an ESPN app on YouTube somewhere next to a Mel Kiper Jr. impersonator, I think you would have laughed at me. 617-779-7937. More of your phone calls coming up. There's a ton of you waiting patiently. There's a lot to get to here today. We also have Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston standing by. That's right after Trending with Arkin.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Jones and Mego, civil discourse only.
That's the reason you're stupid. Shut up.
It's Jones and Mego with Arkan on WEEI.
I think people out there, because of the perception, is crafts are cheap. Crafts aren't going to do that. Listen, they do have to get to the salary cap floor.
Yep.
And they have, that's 90%. That's $200 billion. The cap is 225. I think that they would do this. For instance, you know, J.J. McCarthy has been talked up by Jim Harbaugh ceaselessly throughout this draft process. The Patriots, I have on good authority, said, you know what? Why don't you just call the Chargers and see if they'll trade straight up. We'll take Justin Herbert. You guys can have J.J. McCarthy. And the Chargers said, no, we're not going to do that. But that does indicate that the Patriots are more than willing to go
That's
out and spend the dough. Of course it's interesting.
That's a really good nugget.
Oh, good. Bert, it's a Bert-approved nugget. Great. Bert Breer approves of your nuggets, Tommy Curran.
I hate when people say something to me like, yeah, say like, oh, that's interesting. It's like when you say something and they're like, oh, that's funny. It's like, well, you didn't laugh. Okay.
Tommy Curran's nuggets approved by Burt Breer. That's good. You got
to
run those.
Go out
that's
interesting. And spend the dough. Of course it's
That's a really good nugget.
See, this is why Curran and I are always in lockstep. Of course it's interesting.
I'm just going to say this to Tom now every time he makes a point.
That's
he's
going to
be like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, good point there.
Can you please not try to just like pester the guest?
Yeah, it'll be the first one for sure. Which, when it comes to the Justin Herbert info, my God, good reporting by Tom. I'm not besmirching the reporting at all. But my God, do the Patriots want that out there? Schefter had it. Curran had it. They're like, no. See, we want to spend and we want to call about people, which good. I'll take it as the alternative to Keenan Allen where they didn't even bother calling.
Not all good. Not all good in the Jones book.
Well, no. Don't you think this is an overreaction to them getting ripped for not calling Keenan Allen?
The Herbert stuff?
And Debo?
Yes,
they're so in on Debo.
But I also thought that you were going to flip it to a different direction.
Different direction how?
That they didn't love Drake May. They were trying to get Herbert.
Oh, well, so on some level, if they're calling about Justin Herbert, then they aren't totally sold on Drake May. And this, I believe, like they can say all they want. They made the decision weeks ago and, oh, this is going to happen. And I don't think they're fully sold on Drake May, which is fine. You don't have to be fully sold on him. I like him.
Yeah, I would.
I just don't want to hear that they like love him and there was nothing else they considered when they're calling about Justin Herbert and they're taking phone calls on him.
Well, first of all, look, it's draft night. So I think they're trying to give the kid his flowers. I think anybody who's watching Elliot Wolf up there is going like, this is maybe a little bit of a divided draft room. There's nine people in there giving their opinion. But the other side of it is like, it's the same way when we were talking about what do you want them to do to support Drake May with wide receiver. I'd say, why would you settle for the guy who might be Justin Herbert if you can go get Justin Herbert? Unless you think he's going to be Josh Allen or better than Josh Allen.
Arkan hates Herbert, apparently.
Like, my expectations are not just, like, so lofty. So I'd say, yeah, go get Justin Herbert.
I like Herbert just fine, but he hasn't won anything or really competed for anything. So that's all. I mean, you can have a guy come and put up good numbers and be a good quarterback or whatever, but... And with Herbert, it doesn't even make sense because he had weapons. Like, that was a good team. They should have been better than they were.
Well, that was, but, you want a good case, and I don't really believe in this, but you want a good case for, like, a coach can drag you down.
Yeah.
Their defense was terrible. Like, they did have a good offense. They didn't have anything else. And Eckler was just a shell of himself last year. And so, you can jump in on all this, but them calling on Herbert on some level means they weren't totally sold on Drake May. and sitting there taking phone calls, because I reject the idea that they made this decision weeks ago. Like, I don't buy that. I think they had a good idea and they knew what they were doing. And I think they could read Washington and they knew what Washington was going to do. But if Jaden Daniels were there at three, would they have taken Jaden Daniels instead of Drake May? Like, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Was Drake May their favorite quarterback in the draft? They were just locked in on him?
Or, I don't think he was.
Or did they say, oh, well, Washington's taking Jaden Daniels, so we're taking what's left, and we're calling around
isn't
on Justin Herbert?
Isn't that essentially what Elliott Wolff said? Like, well, after the fact, he said, once we knew that Washington was taking Jaden Daniels at two, it was clear that we were going to go with Drake May. And
but,
you can say, like, they left the door
open.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, as long as
that's
we're all
settling and talking yourself into
thank
it.
You.
That's
and
what,
so,
you know.
Look, I like him,
but
apparently
they said
more than
that they really liked all three. I believe that, but maybe he wasn't the favorite of all three, and probably Caleb Williams was for most of these people.
Right. For me, he was the favorite one there. So I would have ran to the podium. They made the pick pretty quick last night. But I don't buy they were completely in love with it. Jake is in Providence. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to give my quick take on the Drake May pick before I jump into what I wanted to hear your opinions on. But I'm all for the Drake May pick. I think we got to start going for the tangibles. I mean, especially, and I take what exactly what you said as different. I think they were in on Drake May. I think they were looking to see if Harbaugh would call his bluff on J.J. McCarthy, because if they were going to trade back, they really wanted to see if he was really as talented. I think they have been in on a Drake May or Drake May type, talking about Justin Herbert. But the two tidbits I wanted to hear your opinions on were, one, what were your thoughts of, I don't know if you guys saw this, C.J. Stroud saying that Drake May was the most NFL-ready QB. I think that's a pretty... you know, a pretty good source to hear their opinion on that. And then secondly, what were your thoughts? I don't know if you heard this as well. Drake May was talking about what he discussed with Alex Van Pelt, and it said that Alex Van Pelt showed him footage of early Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
Okay, so leave that stuff to the side. Whatever. They showed him highlights of Aaron Rodgers. Great. I didn't hear the C.J. Stroud stuff. I heard C.J. Stroud, like, fall out of his chair. He was so pissed when the Niners took – Pearsall. I saw that clip. I didn't realize that C.J. Stroud called him NFL ready. I don't get why people think he's a project. I think he's way more NFL ready than J.J. McCarthy. He played and actually threw the football in college. And so I think he's way more NFL ready
than
that.
He's not as ready as Jaden Daniels.
I think he might be more
he's
ready.
He's played
than,
like half as many games.
Okay, but so what?
So what? That's experience in college.
Okay, but I think
he's
his skill,
younger.
I think
he has
his skills,
less experience.
I think his skill set.
I would say that that's less NFL ready for most cases.
If just purely on experience, if that's all it is, maybe. But I think it's more about his attributes and what suits him at the next level.
Like, okay, I agree with you that his attributes are very good.
Yeah,
I also think
ready.
That it appears that he has a learning curve with some of the in-call judgment calls, like reading defenses and being able to make the right throws.
Yeah, I think Jaden Daniels has some of that too. I think a lot of quarterbacks
of course,
are going to have
like,
that.
None of these guys are going to come in like perfect and ready to go, and they're going to be, you know, they're not going to be third-year Patrick Mahomes. Like, I'm not saying that, but I think to say that a guy who's played half as many games as Jaden Daniels and is younger is less prepared is like pretty reasonable.
Let me go to Sorja in Mansfield for the second time on the show. Go ahead, Sorja.
I am so sorry, my guys. How is everybody doing today?
All good. You're doing great, Sorja.
You're good.
All right. So just really quick here. So, and I had so much time to do research for this call, obviously. So I just actually wanted to go back to 98 because obviously that was the year Peyton Manning was drafted. It's funny because Jim Harbaugh was the QB before. And in all the research I did, the Patriots are actually in the worst position in human history as an NFL franchise, and I'll tell you why. Because they were just so screwed. If you draft Drake May, he has nobody to throw to.
Okay, I think that's a fair criticism. He doesn't have anybody to throw to right now. But I don't think that's a reason to not take him. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a
he
great...
did all their research.
Okay, it's not a great situation. To bring him into. Agree.
We're talking about human history.
Yes. Human history. That's not a reason.
Thank you, Sarja.
To avoid drafting him, in my estimation. Right. They don't have weapons. They should have spent in free agency, or they should trade for Ayuk or Debo, or they should draft a kid at 34. Like, they need to get more around him. Agreed. But they still should have taken him. I'm happy they did. But let's get into this with Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He joins us here on WEEI. He's brought to you by Drains by James. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Tommy Curran, busy day yesterday. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing excellent. Mego and I love the pick. Arcan so-so about it. How much do you think we actually see Drake May this year? Is he going to play a meaningful amount for the Patriots?
That's like asking how long it's going to take to get somewhere.
on a 3-hour trip not knowing what the traffic is? You just don't know. I mean, you don't know until you can see how he responds, how he plays, how the team plays around him, how the offense is progressing as a whole before he gets dropped in there. So, I mean, that's impossible to say.
But you think they're gonna give him a chance? You think they're gonna give him a chance to play, though, right? It's not just Jacoby Brissett and he's gonna sit all year.
I would imagine he'll see the field, but I mean, it's April 26th, so they're sending every intimation out there. I mean, first Jerod Mayo said we'll let him compete in camp, and then the best player will play, and then within 2 minutes he was putting that toothpaste back in the tube by saying he's not the starter, he needs a lot of time. So certainly the party line that they are going to push forward is it's going to take a lot of time. So I think we can table that for a while.
Tom, I want to jump a little bit over to a news item that you dropped on Bert Breer last night and wrote about, which is
it was Bert approved.
Yes, he said it was very interesting, and I agree about the Patriots reaching out to the 49ers regarding Brandon Ayuk. Now there's some smoke around Deebo Samuel. How high is it of a priority for the Patriots right now with everything going on to look at the trade market and try to grab one of these receivers, not necessarily those two, but be in the trade market for one of these high production veteran receivers and bring in?
Definitely a high priority. I think I told you guys that a couple weeks ago when we talked about post Calvin Ridley. When they swung and missed on Calvin Ridley, they have $25 million allocated to an ex-wide receiver that they could still spend and would like to spend. They are by far the most under the cap of any team in the NFL right now. They're not to the cap floor of 200, so they have to spend the money. And they understand that, again, you have a rookie quarterback on what is the biggest cheat code financially in the NFL, a guy who's going to be under your control for ostensibly 5 years. So you need to spend the money somewhere. You do it the way teams in the NFL now do it, and that's a wide receiver. So they're extremely active. They tried to get Calvin Ridley, failed. They've kicked the tires on the opportunity to get A.J. Brown, and they have been in conversations with the 49ers about how they can extract someone there. So they understand, despite the fact Elliott Wolf sat there last week and said they're just drafting for depth, light has dawned on Marblehead, and they are absolutely trying to get another wide receiver in there.
Yes!
What's your understanding of those conversations with San Francisco?
Just ongoing. I don't know how they're going. I don't know, but I think we would have clarity.
On both?
Pardon me?
On Deebo, on Ayuk, on both?
When I talked to someone who was specifically on Ayuk, but as you've seen, there's been reporting on Deebo as well.
Tom, I think you were with me on Team Trade Back. There was reports now that the Raiders and the Vikings were making offers to the Patriots. I think Wolf even mentioned some of the offers that came in. Do you have any more info on what some of those offers may have had? Were any players involved? And what would it have taken to move the Patriots off of that pick?
It would have taken 3 first-round picks and most likely a player. So that didn't happen, so we can at least ascertain that that wasn't brought up. So I don't know concrete what the offers were. I don't know if we ever will know what the offers were. For Minnesota, they actually kind of win. You know, they don't have to move any resources, and they get a really good quarterback who will fit their system really well and just be plug and play. So to them, they actually win on that situation, in my estimation. But I don't know what they exactly were, Christian. Sorry.
Tom, aside from perhaps getting a wide receiver somewhere in the trade market, how else do you support Drake May? It seems like, okay, we all have our feelings about who he was in college and who he may be, but we're not even into OTAs yet. So is it about the offensive line? What is the next most important piece to get in the draft right now?
I think, honestly, Mego, it's less about the players for right now around him and more about fixing him. He's the least ready of the 4 main guys, and I'll even throw Penix in there, 5 main guys. He is the guy that most people said is boom or bust. He is the guy who needs the most work with his accuracy and his footwork. He's the bounciest in terms of moving around and not having his feet set and decision-making. So before you worry about making sure K.J. Osborne isn't your best player, or DeMario Douglas and wideout, you got to fix all that stuff. To me, there will be guys who kind of shake loose from the wide receiver tree over the next however many months. We see it all often. We saw it with DeAndre Hopkins last year. So over the course of the next few months, guys will shake loose if they swing and miss on Ayuk or Samuel or T. Higgins, which I haven't heard any direct intel on.
But to me, you really have to, the first things first with him is don't worry about who he's throwing to. Worry about how well he throws it.
Okay, I heard your discussion, and it was excellent. It's worth checking out at NBC Sports Boston. Your sit-down with Brian Hoyer, you and Phil. And Brian Hoyer said he thought the footwork was the easiest thing to fix. So how big of a challenge is that going to be for them?
It shouldn't be. Going off the expert, I would say it shouldn't be that complicated. But I wonder, too, how much of his footwork is linked to his brain. And how much, you know, as Belichick said, and I thought Belichick was excellent on pointing out the flaws that May has while still having him fifth overall on his draft board. I mean, I don't blame him for setting a high bar for a guy who's fifth overall. Belichick, I'm talking about, and saying he has to fix this, this, and this. What I think would be more alarming than the footwork, or at least, I don't know, concerning, might overstate it too, a bigger priority is, okay, when do you have to scramble? When should you stay in the pocket and let it play out? When do you need to let it rip? One thing that I had said about his running when I looked at it was he was very decisive. To hear somebody with, you know, the Yoda level of knowledge that Belichick brings to it, or maybe he's too decisive in saying, okay, I'm out of here. So I think that's a big thing that you have to link to his footwork. Just get your feet quiet and let your brain do the work instead of letting your eyes do it and say, oh, I'm out of here.
Tom, you obviously covered the team 3 years ago and they drafted Mac Jones from a reaction perspective, from a player perspective. What were the biggest differences you saw between when they called Drake May's name and when they called Mac Jones's name?
I think, you know, they both have a little goofiness to them. I don't know what it is about Mac's goofiness. Mego, you probably have a good sense for this.
I think go ahead, Tom.
Matt's goofiness is more part of the group trying to crack people up. I think Drake May's goofiness is just, hey, I'm goofy, kind of in a Brady way. Max was kind of felt like a fitting in way. You know, I don't think the number of times people say that the Patriots players hated Mac Jones, it always makes my shoulders go up because they didn't. They didn't like the way he played quarterback. They didn't like that he would bitch on the field, but nobody disliked the kid in the locker room. He fit in perfectly. It's just that, hey, everybody get behind me. I'm going to bring you someplace type of swagger. I don't think that Mac had. I think Drake May might.
How do you think Bill would have handled the third pick last night? Let's say the Patriots are on the clock there. Is he taking calls? Is he moving back? Is he taking an offensive lineman like Jim Harbaugh? Like what would Bill have done at three?
I think he's loading up if he has a chance to take somebody and then try and play the game and get McCarthy. I mean, I know he's got May 5th, but if he's looking at Drake May and saying, I can't even use this kid until halfway through the season, maybe the back end of the season, I need to win now. We just went 4-13 last year. I'm going to get some resources here, and I'm going to trade back. But it is telling that he had him 5th on the board.
Yeah.
And to hear him as effusive as he was, like, who do you think among the 5 guys, and we can take Penix out of it, among the 4, I think May will be the only one who we can't say will definitely be on the bench at Halloween.
We're kind of general here, Tom. I want to ask like a specific scheme X's and O's question with Drake May. Since it was in Detroit, if he was a, what's it called? Motown song.
Ah.
What song would Drake May be?
Just my imagination.
Good one.
You know.
I don't know. Mego's making a face. I don't know what the fit was. Is that a good analogy
you know
in
what
your
that
estimation?
Song's about, Tom?
No.
It's about what? It's about lusting after someone walking away.
So like every Motown song's about.
Well, he could have gone with like Tears of a Clown, Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Mm.
Sorry, yeah, I put you on the spot there.
Just your imagination that he's got this much upside to an extent.
Yeah,
I mean, you're wishing. People are wishing, of all the quarterbacks, there's more wishing involved with Drake May than anybody. And I think that the Patriots had to take him because he was the safest pick. Even though he has the most downside, the lowest floor at the moment, they had to take him because other teams coveted him. So they had to say, well, if we don't take him, that is basically an admission that we aren't ready We don't have enough good players. Our roster is crap. And I, Elliot Wolf, I was part of that situation. We can blame Bill all we want, but if we don't take Drake May, that means we don't believe in our coaching staff to get him ready and up to speed, and we have to take somebody safe, or we have to trade out of it. So to me, they're really hoping that as a group, they are going to grow together. And if, as a group, this one player doesn't grow, then they're going to be right back where they were by 2028, which is jaw-dropping.
I would have gone with my guy.
Tom, real quick, before we let you go, you mentioned Elliot Wolf. There's still six rounds of picks that he needs to make here. Do you think that in terms of his future, now that the big pick's out of the way, that there's any sort of hindrance that'll be there from him continuing his role in the future?
I don't think so. I mean, honestly, it's just so weird to look at a guy who is the de facto GM who you're going to have, even if it's sham interviews, to go through the exercise of. To have this guy standing there being the one who holds for Elliot, he's going to tell you you're a Patriot. I can't imagine that his job is in any kind of jeopardy. So it's a weird dynamic that's going on there. To me, I'm really curious what happens at 34 here, since that's what's looming in a few hours, is everybody got driven down the board on the defensive side of the ball because of all the wide receivers and tackles and quarterbacks. The Patriots definitely need a corner. They definitely need a corner on the other side from Christian Gonzalez. You can still go out. I believe Stephon Gilmore is still on the market, but you can definitely go out right now and get, you know, Kool-Aid McKinstry, for lack of a better guy. First guy to pop into mind, but these are Cooper Dijon, another one who was, you know, the 19th rated player from some, from ESPN, and he's still on the board. So do you want to take a corner and make your defense that much better if you're looking at your board, or do you say, no, we're going to draft for need and go with
need
the eighth as receiver?
Need would be my vote, but we'll see what they do tonight at pick 34. Tom, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
Thank you, Tom.
As all our guests joins us here on Jones.
So this is,
and Mega on
WEI. This is a great song, but it's actually about, I don't know if Smokey Robinson wrote it. Whoever wrote it was watching.
I can't believe you know this much about this.
The other producer's wife was walking out of the building, and he was writing about how he thought this man's wife was flirting with him.
Yep.
But he's like, it must have been just my imagination.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he wasn't like thinking about her in his imagination, and then that's
a little bit of that
about.
Too, maybe.
That's what this. I mean, hey, interpret it as you will, but that's what the song's about.
I can tell you. The second thing is what I was doing when the Patriots took Drake May last night, but Curran
hates
the pick.
You guys never ask me about this stuff. Like, I am just a well of knowledge over here.
Apparently. Curran hates the pick.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
He didn't say that.
He doesn't like the pick. He likes the pick.
This is a beautiful song.
Okay. Curran doesn't like the pick.
Just said all the upside is just our imagination, and he likes the pick. Come on.
I also don't like that I started by asking when he's going to play, and then at the end, he's like, oh, we can't answer that now. And then by the end of the interview, he's like, yeah, he's probably sitting on Halloween. Mm-hmm. I feel like I asked that at the start. We'll get to all your phone calls.
Got to warm up to that, Jim.
779. I was told we can't have the conversation. 617-779-7937. We'll get into all your feedback here coming up. And are we going to be able to understand Drake May? Let's dissect a few of these answers coming up next.
Megan Ottolini. Don't yuck her yum.
I just read these back-to-back texts. Mego has a very unique chicken kink, followed by a different number that just says, Mego is disgusting.
You have a chicken kink.
Don't yuck my yum.
Jones and Mego on WEEI.
What's up, Pass Nation? Drake May here. Can't wait. You know, super excited. Can't wait to get to Boston, get to New England. Can't wait to get Gillette Stadium and meet y'all. And super excited to get to work, and let's go.
Drake May on social last night. He was at Gillette Stadium today. Photo op, holding up number 10. Right? He was holding up a jersey.
No, he held up number 1.
Number one.
I'm sorry. He confirmed.
But he's got number 10 in his locker.
He confirms he'll be wearing number 10. He was holding up number 1. My mistake. You can jump in here on Jones and Mego with Arcan. 617-779-7937. I like this text. 37937. You guys all know the number. It's great when Tom Curran lights most of Jones' takes on fire. Jones, how do these takes look now? Drake May is not a project.
They look burnt.
Drake May should start immediately. Belichick's analysis was useless. I disagree with Tom on all of them.
Does someone think it's Tears of a Cloud?
I don't know. Is that what somebody texted in?
That's not the name of the song.
That's called Rain.
I don't know. Let's stick with our text.
Someone texted in and said, it's called Tears of a Cloud.
No, I mean, stick with one text at a time. The Tommy Curran one, I disagree with him. And when Drake May's starting week one, we'll see who's right. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on all this. Let's go to Harrison in Seacon. Go ahead, Harrison.
Hey, guys. So I'm looking at this one of two ways. Since the Bills are ahead of us at pick 33, if they're going to trade for Brandon Ayuk or with and they get him, you better get Adonai Mitchell. If we end up trading for T. Higgins and Brandon Ayuk, then go ahead and take Adonai Mitchell. But it better pan out that way heading into the second round.
Okay. What do you guys want at 34?
I want a tackle. I'm sorry.
Who?
And whatever best tackle is available.
Just any tackle?
Yeah.
Okay. Arkham, what do you want at 34?
I like A.D. Mitchell. I also like the kid McConkey. I don't know. I mean, really, I'd like to trade for Ayuk or Deebo Samuel, but I like Coleman Franklin, too.
Fine.
So, I mean, there's wide receivers I like.
We already talked about the trading, but yeah. You want a wide receiver.
I want a wide receiver.
That's also what
any
I want.
One of those guys I just mentioned.
I love Keon Coleman. Coleman's been my guy after really the top three. I had him neck and neck with Brian Thomas, who was flagged medically. He dropped a little bit last night. He went to Jacksonville. Like the fourth or fifth best receiver in the draft. I like Keon Coleman. They should definitely go receiver at 34. Meanwhile, can we translate a little bit of Drake May? I enjoyed these. There were a couple that really jumped out when I was listening last night. He was asked about Alex Van Pelt's offense. Here's what he had to say.
You mentioned Alex Van Pelt too before. Did you get to meet him when you were up here? And what do you know about the offense? And you know, what are you looking forward to running his
system? Yeah. Oh yeah. I got to meet Coach, and maybe met first time at the formal interview at the combine. Uh-huh. He was asked some questions, and then went up there for a third visit and went through some of the film. You know, outside zone scheme, uh-huh. And he liked to throw it around. He was showing some clips and play action stuff with Rodgers back in the day in Green Bay. So you know, I'm looking forward to being in that offense. I know they had a lot of success in the past, and just look forward to you know, kind of finding my way to, you know, best contribute to the past nation.
Shrimp potatoes.
Like, I think there's a little bit of Sling Blade going on there, quite frankly.
You can't help but smile when you hear him talk.
Say it again.
He talks too fast.
He does talk a little fast.
The beginning and the ends are normal speed, but then he does. It's like he's buffering in the middle, and everything kind of speeds up for a couple seconds as it catches up.
Like, there's a little bit of that going on, but it does speed up.
Around here, Roger there.
First time at the formal interview at the combine.
Combine there.
He asked some questions, and then went up there for third visit. And
back there, third visit there.
What was the part about Aaron Rodgers? That's where I lost it.
This is what the caller asked about earlier.
All right, show me some clips there, Aaron Rodgers.
Because Alex,
he liked to throw it around. He was showing some clips and play action stuff with Rodgers back in the day in Green Bay. So,
oh, play action?
I think so.
I got a plaction there.
Yeah.
I think he was talking about Plaxico Burress is what I think he was talking
and
about.
And like to throw it around. He was showing some clips and play action stuff with Rodgers back in the day in Green Bay. So
that was the fastest play action I've ever heard.
Let me hear number eight. This, first of all, you know, stick around for the question here, but really you're going to want to hear the answer. But what a question this is if it's included. I mean, did you cut it out? Okay, fine.
No, I got the question.
The question was a whopper, but whatever. It was basically, you know, quarterback X's and O jargon. What's your go-to fourth down play, Drake May?
Oh, watching your film, man, one of the things that stood out was your ability to tackle the entire field inside and outside. So
yeah,
I'm curious, say it's fourth and seven with the game on the line, whether it's a concept or a route, what would you say is your bread and butter play that you feel really comfortable with?
Yeah. No doubt. I think throwing up something over across the middle. I think, you know, I got to see it well.
Throwing up to them across the middle.
Throwing up there something over across
throw
the middle.
Throw it up to them across the middle. That's what he said.
Shrimp potatoes.
Let me throw it up to them across the middle.
No doubt. I think throwing up something over across the middle. I think
throw it up
I
to them across the middle.
I think 6'5 dude back there where it's a seam shot, you know, big dig, you know, in the corner route, middle post.
Big dig.
Anything across the middle of the field. I feel like, you know, I can make a throw, make all the throws, and I'm excited to. If it's not there, I can go make a play for myself. So I think that's the most looking forward to it, and helping kind of expand that game into the NFL.
Okay. I look.
He answered that question about as well as you could. I think.
I reckon that didn't quite satisfy me.
I think, you know, I got to see it well. I'm big 6'5 dude back there where it's a seam shot.
Is he lying about his height? I thought he was 6'4.
Well, you know.
6'5?
6'5
roster
on
height.
Yeah, 6'5
roster
on
height.
You know,
roster
big
height.
Dig. You know, in the corner routes, corner
now
posts.
Now he's just shouting out things he just learned about Boston.
I feel like, you know,
big dig. Knock down the expressway there, put a little tunnel underneath it.
Long blade on it, shaped kind of like a banana.
Yeah. If it's not there, I can go make a play for myself. So
big dig.
I think that's the most looking forward to it.
Big dig. See, Park District.
I call it a slang blade. I call it a Kaiser blade.
All sorts of urban development.
Greenway. Rose Kennedy.
Rose Kennedy, my favorite Kennedy.
And help him kind of expand that game into the NFL.
Expressway's an eyesore. Knock it on down. Big dig.
Free up the north end.
Okay, I'm looking forward to Monday. I'm not going to lie. I might need a translation, but I'm looking forward to Monday.
Borderline infatuation at this point.
Because believe it or not, I love the pick. Mego loves the pick. Arcan is very on brand. Arcan pretty meh about it. He's channeling his inner Tommy Curran.
I like him. I'll tell you what. I do like him. It's hard not to like him. I don't love the pick.
You like his takes on transportation.
Yeah, let me hear a little bit more of him on the traffic in this city.
No, I think throwing up some over across the middle. I think, I got to see it well. I'm big 6'5 dude back there where it's a seam shot, big dig, in the corner routes, corner post, anything across the middle of the field. I feel like, can make a throw, make all the throws, and I'm excited to – if it's not there, I can go make a play for myself. So,
Mara Healy is on the phone.
Most looking forward to it.
Don't
know. I hit him again with it in the neck with a sharp edge and just plumb near cut his head off. Killed him.
Do not, and I emphasize, or I can't emphasize this enough, do not duck-duck-go seam shot on a work computer.
Toothpaste and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
617-779-7937. Let's get back to all our thoughts on Drake May and how much we're going to actually see him this year. It should be a lot. That's next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.